In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
It's 5:16 and time to pass the popcorn. Our look at movies with Alan Adams of The Main Edge, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Because everybody, you know, even the bad movies, somebody likes.
Yeah, no, every movie is somebody's favorite, as difficult as that might be to comprehend. There's at least one person out there for every movie.
Yeah, although perhaps not for this new King Arthur movie.
Oh, man, I tell you what. We were talking about it off air. It's pretty much solidified its spot as the first flop of, you know, blockbuster season 2017. With a budget of $175 million figured, double that with the marketing push, which was significant. Mm. The last number I saw was they did less than $15 million this weekend.
Oh, man.
Which is just an astonishingly bad number for a movie with this kind of pedigree in terms of production budget and marketing budget.
Now, you'll recoup a chunk of that in video and in rentals and
streaming. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know how well it's going to translate to the overseas box office. I'm not familiar with, because it's Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie directed, co-wrote the screenplay, and say what you will, there's no mistaking a Guy Ritchie movie. Like, you sit down and it's like, everything's gray and everybody's very tough. And
talking fast.
Yeah, a lot of fast talk and a lot of action sequences, which are fast motion, slow motion, fast motion, slow motion, fast motion, slow motion. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I get that. When you're making, you know, kind of small, quirky movies about, shady underground types, okay, like that can work.
Sure.
When you're making a movie about the story of the greatest king of English myth, it doesn't necessarily flow as well, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It bears a passing resemblance to the King Arthur legend that we're all familiar with. The names are similar.
Huh.
It's basically, the gist is, we live in a world where men and mages are at war. And so men and mages, magic people.
Oh,
yeah.
Alrighty.
Men and mages. So, okay. Yeah. So we're already on our way. And so Camelot is like the last holdout for mankind. King Uther Pendragon, played by Eric Bana, is his last holdout. His brother, Vortigern, played by Jude Law, who's a Guy Ritchie favorite, is jealous and wants the throne, and so betrays King Uther and his magic sword. Uther manages to get his young son Arthur into a boat and sent off down the river before he's killed or whatever. And young Arthur then is discovered by a prostitute and is raised in a brothel.
Oh,
well, of course.
Yeah, so he grows up as like a two-fisted, roguish, like clever guy.
Richard Pryor.
And then winds up growing up to be in a classic Ritchie montage. We get to watch his entire like childhood go by, and he steals things and gets in fights with Johns, and essentially is doing all this stuff, and then wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden he's he's Charlie Hunnam,
just like that.
Yeah. So now he's all grown up, and he and his buddies run the streets of Londinium. Yeah, that's the name of the city. Londinium.
No, that's accurate, actually.
It is?
Yeah, that's what London would have been called in that time frame.
Okay, well, there you go. So we got that going for us.
Okay.
All the while, Jude Law is trying desperately to find Arthur, who has become this object of legend known as the Born King. And he redoubles his efforts when you know, the tide suddenly recedes and there's the magic sword sticking out of a rock in the riverbed, because, you know, that's how these things work.
This means something.
Meanwhile, there's another group, a group of rebels led by Jimon Hansu and the dude who plays Littlefinger on Game of Thrones. And so they're also trying to recruit the Born King. And then, you know, so they track down him as his, you know, in his roguish gang. And bring him in, and he, you know, winds up pulling the sword out of the stone, because that's what happens. But it turns out he's not quite ready to control the massive power of the sword. But if he doesn't, Jude Law's going to win, and then it's all going to be downhill for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, why follow a story that's, you know, survived centuries? Just you keep some of the names and make your own story up.
Well, as we've seen from Guy Ritchie in the past, like there's nothing he loves more than taking beloved characters from the English literary canon and, you know, and making them punch each other. So, you know, he did it to Sherlock Holmes. Now he's doing it to King Arthur. And it's hilarious, because this has a blatant non-ending of an ending. It's clear that they were setting this up for, you know, sequels going forward. Considering how successful the film has been, I don't anticipate anyone needs to worry about those five picture deals they signed going into this one. I think they're going to be free. You know, I think Jude Law is going to have no problem going back for season two of The Young Pope. You know, I don't think Charlie Hunnam's going to have any problems doing his giant fighting robot movie or whatever the heck he's going to be doing next. Honestly, it's just it's almost tragic that this movie was done this way, because I think the King Arthur legend, I think it's a really compelling story, and I think it's been a long time since a really good cinematic version of that movie has been made. I honestly would say the last really good one was probably Excalibur, and that was a long time ago.
Well, I'm reading this one from my childhood that I remember quite vividly. Based loosely on Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, this version begins with Bugs Bunny reading a book on the Knights of the Round Table under a hairdryer. While reading, an apple falls and hits his head, and he is transported to the time of King Arthur. He wakes up and finds himself at the pointy end of a knight's lance, and Bugs asks, "What's up, Duke?" and featured a couple of my favorites from the Bugs Bunny canon. Cirrhosis of liver.
Oh, yeah, the Sirloin of Pork.
Sirloin of Pork and the Earl of Watercress. And the Baron of Worcester, Chester, Shister, Shyster, Schuster, Shister, Sister, Shire, sir. There you go. Why didn't they just go with that instead?
Right, like, it's just one of those things where, and again, like, I think Guy Ritchie is a wonderful technical stylist. I think he's a terrible storyteller. And I think the sooner that we all agree to be like, all right, guy, like maybe let's dial it back a notch, I think the better off everyone's going to be.
He's optimistic. Hey, the dude married Madonna and thought that would work out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's just like, you know, you couldn't give Sean Penn a call. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I think we all know how this works.
Right. There was a pattern. Clearly. Yeah. All right. So that's one. The other you saw was the film that brought Goldie Hawn out of retirement. Was it worth it?
I have no idea what the process was that led to Goldie Hawn saying, you know, I haven't made a movie in 15 years. I'm going to do this one. It's bad. Like, it's a bad movie. Like, okay, it's better than King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, but it's a bad movie.
Well, Kurt was out making his movie.
Right. Well, I mean, he's been working. Like, he's been doing stuff. Yeah. And it's just, it's one of those things where I just wonder, you know, I can't put together the path that leads from, you know, I haven't done a movie since The Banger Sisters in 2002 to I'm going to listen to Amy Schumer curse at me for an hour and a half, you know, 15 years later. It's just like, because like Goldie Hawn is a GD national treasure.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, she's a comedic legend. Mm-hmm. And for this to be the sort of comeback vehicle, it just makes me sad. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, it's just an ostensibly it's a comedy directed by Jonathan Levine, script by Katie Dippold. It's Amy Schumer is this woman, Emily, kind of a drifting underachiever, doesn't have a whole lot going on. She's got this big vacation plan to Ecuador, but her boyfriend breaks up with her because his band is taking off. And so kind of leaves her in the lurch. She can't find anyone who wants to go with her, so she winds up going home to cry on her mom's shoulder. Her mom, named Linda, played by Goldie Hawn, who still is living with her son, Emily's brother, an agoraphobic named Jeffrey, played by Ike Barinholtz, who's actually kind of great in this movie, but he's always kind of great. Eventually what happens, she decides, hey, mom, why don't you come on this vacation with me? Mom, despite being horribly neurotic about all things, agrees. And so they go to Ecuador and are staying in this resort and doing, you know, you get kind of the standard mom-daughter stuff. Emily meets a guy at the bar, goes out, has a wonderful evening, gets asked to go have another adventure the next day, brings her mom along. And then, wouldn't you know it, they get kidnapped.
Whoa.
Because that's a perfect, subject matter for a comedy.
Yeah.
Is an abduction in a foreign country. They wake up in a cell, being monitored. They're being kept for ransom by a gangster named Morgado. It's pretty, like, he's wearing a tracksuit, has long, like, oily hair. Like, it's kind of racist. It's a little bit racist. Like, it feels weird.
Casual racism.
Yes, exactly. And then they through a series of unfunny and inexplicable circumstances, they wind up escaping into the jungle. Turns out they've been transported to Colombia, of all places, and they're trying to find their way to Bogota and the U.S., the U.S. Embassy, because they've called the State Department and been told on no uncertain terms that, there's nothing really that the State Department could do. You're just going to have to make it to the embassy, because I'm pretty sure that's how U.S. foreign policy works when Americans are lost in foreign countries.
Well, I may now.
Well, sure. I mean, I suppose that's fair. Maybe this was a very prescient movie, yes, in it. Terms of...
It was a commentary on the Tillerson years.
And again... And that's pretty much it. And they encounter some various folks along the way. There's an adventuring weirdo played by Christopher Maloney at one point. They wind up being rescued by a jungle doctor who's seeking the cure for cancer at one point. And it goes through, and they, wouldn't you know, they learn a little something about one another along the way.
Of course.
And it's almost painful how not funny this movie is in long stretches. Now, don't get me wrong, there are a couple of chuckles here and there, but even a blind squirrel finds a joke once in a while. It's one of those things, and I think this is Amy Schumer's fault, and who I think is gifted. I think she's a gifted comedian. I think she has talent. I think she has started to rely on sort of crassness as a crutch. Cringe, like these cringeworthy moments and this coarseness is being substituted for actual jokes. And so you get these gross out gags that aren't particularly funny. They just make you squirm in your seat. And, a few of those is fine. But when that's based the entire basis of the humor of your movie, like, you lost me. And I think you lost a lot of people.
Poor Goldie.
And that's the thing. Like, I just don't understand how you sit down and look at a script that has this, that has the stage direction. Amy Schumer has her boob out, and say, you know what? This is my comeback vehicle. This is the one that I want to do. There are a couple of really repulsive moments in this movie. I'm not going to go into it because, frankly, it's kind of gross. I just wanted it to be, because again, like I said, I love Goldie Hawn, and I think, she's been in some really fantastic movies over the years, and she's still got it. And there are these brief moments where you see this sort of spark between the two of them, and you're like, so this could have worked. It just doesn't because of any number of bad decisions. And that's almost worse. Like, it's not like there's no chemistry between the two of them. And it's not like they're not both talented. It's just like a series of inexplicable decisions were made, and the end result is a terrible movie called Snatched.
Well, there you go. Rush right out and see it. Alan Adams with Pass the Popcorn.
As unenjoyable as the other recent parent-child travel movie is The Guilt Trip.
See, I actually managed to miss that one. So. Yeah.
Okay. It, as you're describing this one, because I watched that and same thing.
Which one was it? Was that with that Jane Fonda?
No, was the Seth Rogen, Barbara Streisand thing.
Because that seems like a good pairing.
Yeah. Well, same idea. It just really missed on every level.
Well, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that it's an effort for Goldie Hawn to connect with an audience that probably isn't super familiar with her. As far as that goes, like, you could make a lot worse choices than Schumer. I think, but ultimately, like, you have to have the material or else it's just not going to happen. Again, like, you know, it did better at the box office than King Arthur did. Well, so, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's too bad. By the way, we were talking about this before we went on the air. Kerry Haskell, master builder, has been tweaking and revising our website, downtownwithrichkimble.com. And now, so much easier to find Alan Adams movie reviews because they're right there on the front page. You go to the website and there's a tab right there that says movie reviews. Click on it and all of Alan's recent reviews are there.
That's pretty fantastic. I would say thank you very much, Kerry. I think that's... I'm honored.
Trying to find the useful information that our listeners would like to go
and we've got a tab for Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese, our message in the bottle right there as well, and for Bruce Pratt's Sports Lit 101.
Correct.
Bing, right there. The things that people look for, we want them to be easier to find, and that includes you.
Oh, you guys.
There you go. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Alan Adams talking movies.